You have your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 12. Kids, Children's Church can be dismissed. If you haven't gone yet, you can go to Children's Church. Isaiah chapter 12, just one verse today, verse 3. In 2 weeks, I plan on taking this passage apart and just expounding on it and dig deep into it so we can bring out the wells of salvation. But some preliminary things need to be done before we can do that. And that's my purpose today. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And I appreciate when the Lord puts a service together, as Pastor Kelly talked at the outset, the beginning of bitter words and sweet words. And it's just going to apply to the message this morning. And then singing the song, Springs of Living Water, came today and he says, this is my last song. Is this okay? I said, that's great. This is exactly what I'm preaching on this morning. So I'm glad the Lord does that for us. But I want you to notice in this verse that it says wells of salvation. Everybody notice that? With joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. That is wells, plural. We usually hear of only one well of salvation. Salvation from sin, salvation from hell, but it's wells of salvation. It's wells, plural. There are a number of blessings that accompany your salvation. And I'm praying that as we pick this up later on after the courageous thing, that we are going to see some great deliverances. Because another word for salvation is deliverance. And God has provided deliverance built in with our salvation experience. And I want to look at those wells. But John chapter 4, if you would turn over there today, please. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. This is a familiar story of Jesus meeting the woman of Samaria at a well. At Jacob's well. And what's so interesting is that Jesus went out of his way to have an encounter with this woman. He made a special trip to Jacob's well because this lady had a divine appointment, even though she didn't know it at the time. She had a divine appointment with the Lord. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. One more verse. You don't need to turn there, but John chapter 7 and verse 37 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Jesus is the source of living water. Jesus is the source of everything this world promises, but it cannot give. Love, joy, peace, satisfaction, contentment, eternal life, and on we could go. Jesus is the source of all of these things. Jesus, as the Son of Man, was a well from which living water flowed. And Jesus, as the Son of God, is the fountain that provides the water. In other words, Jesus is both. He is the well and he is the water. He is the source of the supply. He is the supply. He is the source of living water. Not only is Jesus a source of water, but so are people. You and I today are wells. People are wells in this world. Every person on this earth is a well because something is flowing out of them. Something is flowing out of their life. People have all kinds of things in their well. Some of the stuff in some of the people's wells are deadly. Israel at Mara, Israel came to a place called Mara, was a place of bitterness. Mara means bitterness. And they came there and they were thirsty and they wanted water to drink. You can imagine being in a desert climate, looking for something to drink, and you finally come upon a well of water and you find out that the waters are bitter. But the water that was bitter was just a symbol of what was in their heart, because they were filled with bitterness as well. They were bitter at God, even though God had delivered them from a time of slavery in Egypt and brought them out with miraculous miracles. They still bittered and they complained when they couldn't find water. Some are full of things that are deep down that the Lord would want to cleanse out of their life. There's the well of bitter water. There's the well of the drug dealer, the well of the alcoholic. And there are people that drink from these wells. And sometimes we wonder, why do people drink from these contaminated water supplies? Why do they drink from these wells? Here's the truth. People are thirsty. People are going to drink something. We have to give them living water to let them know that there is something out there that can truly satisfy. That Jesus can make it so that they have living water so that they are never thirsty again. But Proverbs 27:7 says, to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. To the thirsty person, even that which is bitter is sweet because they are looking for something to drink. And God promises judgment on those who call bitter sweet and then offers it to society. He says in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Have you noticed that the devil tricks the world, and the world begins to fall for his deception, thinking that bitter waters are really sweet and sweet waters are really bitter. He deceives them into drinking from the wrong water supply. Some wells look promising but contain nothing. They are wells of false religion. They have the appearance of containing living water, but in reality, they are empty. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, God says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So the Lord is saying, there's two things wrong that my people did. Number one, they forsook me. You know, they wanted water. I was their source. I was their supply. I offered them living water. That was mistake number one. But number two, they went to the wrong water supply. And they went to broken cisterns. They were dry because these cisterns held no water. Can I tell you, there really is no love, joy, peace, all those things you want in life. There really is none of those things apart from Jesus Christ. The world might offer it, but you will find that it's empty and it's dry, and it'll never satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy the thirsty soul. He's the only one that can meet your needs. Well, the world might offer some temporary help, but Jesus, He wants to give you everlasting help. He wants to give you help that will last a lifetime. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, it says that there are wells without water. Those who deceive others, he said, they're just like wells without water. They promise water, but in reality, when you get there, if you try to drink from their supply, there's no water available. So could I suggest this morning that before you drink from somebody's well, you need to check the water supply. You need to check the water source. Find out if it's bitter water. Find out if it's false hope that the water might in actuality be dry. The people are wells, and also today, to narrow it in a little bit, the Christian is a well. You today are a well. You have something to offer. There is something coming out of your life, springing forth from you. And as we approach the well of salvation, says, with what emotion are we to do it? Therefore, with joy. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Let's look at this joy for a little bit. See what the Bible has to say about joy and rejoicing. But first of all, rejoicing is a major aspect of worship. David tells us that we are to enter into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. We sang it this morning. We offered up to him the sacrifices of praise. We offer up to him the sacrifice of joy. That's the proper way. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we think of worship, we should think of thanksgiving and praise. That's the things that usher us right into the very throne room of God. I have a very searching question for you today. Are you filled with joy when you worship? David was the one who wrote the book of Psalms. He was a man after God's own heart. He knew what worship was all about. And he said in Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So we enter into the presence of the Lord. And if we are truly in his presence, we experience joy. As we worship, we should rejoice in our salvation. That's what Isaiah is saying here. With joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I was only 9 years old when I gave my heart to Christ and invited him to be my Savior. But even at that young age, I experienced the joy that was deep down inside of my heart. If you're here today and you've not had that experience, I want you to have it. That God wants to save you from your sins and he wants to give you a heart of joy. Jesus gave his life for you. That is something to rejoice about. He has taken away all the sin, all the guilt, all the condemnation to those who are truly in Christ Jesus. And the Isaiah says, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." So as we rejoice in our salvation, sorrow, discouragement, depression disappears. And then furthermore, Jesus states that one reason that God saved us so that we might be filled with the joy of the Lord. John 17:13, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." The Lord's joy fulfilled in your life. Even if you live in the world and you experience the difficulties that sometimes happen in life. Just like the peace that passes understanding, there is a joy that is unspeakable. But it's available for the child of God at the well of salvation. We are to have the joy of God within ourselves. We are to rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. One day Jesus sent out the disciples. They came back. They were all excited because even the demons were subject to them when they used his name. But he said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That is a cause for rejoicing. You got nothing else to rejoice for today. Your name is written in heaven. You have a tremendous future that awaits. And we should also take note that God outlines joy and worship in the pattern of the Old Testament. Nehemiah said unto the people, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, he said unto the people, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah is saying that when you enter into the presence of the Lord, you are to enter with joy. In fact, you are not to enter with sorrow, but you are to enter with joy. There is, according to Paul, Romans 14, 17, the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I believe the prodigal gives us a good example of rejoicing in worship. Here's this young man who had wasted away his inheritance. Somehow he was able to finagle it from his father before his father died. And he went out and wasted his inheritance with riotous living. And once he had spent it all, he found himself in a pig pen, eating the pig slop, thinking, you know, even my father's servants have it better than this. I think I will go and I will repent. I will do a complete turnaround. And I will go to my father and I will say to my father, I have sinned. I am no longer worthy to be thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. But don't you know the father was looking for that day? Every day he was looking for that wayward son to come home. And one day he saw his son coming. He didn't wait for his son to come all the way home. He went out to meet the son. Can you think of the great rejoicing that went on? As the father said, I want you to kill the fatted lamb. We're going to have a party. Bring the robe, bring the ring. This my son who was dead is now alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. And there was celebration. There was food. There was music. There was dancing. Every single one of us at one time were prodigal. God was looking for us to come home, to come to him. And when we did, it was a great celebration. Rejoicing because our names are now recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are to rejoice in spite of our circumstances. One of the most interesting passages on rejoicing is recorded in James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy, because it's through the trials and temptations of life that your faith grows, your patience grows. Trials are an opportunity to make you strong and mature. Habakkuk makes a declaration of faith. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Is there anything in there to rejoice about? But he goes on to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Paul says we are to rejoice all the time. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. It was like he said it, rejoice in the Lord They think, you know, I need to add some emphasis here. This is so good, I think I'll say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. We are to rejoice in our giving. Some people cringe when the offering plates are passed. But Paul reminds us, every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful, a joyful giver. We are to rejoice when we see others coming to the Lord Jesus. David declared concerning the spiritual harvest, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Psalm 126 and verse 5. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, I say unto you that likewise shall joy be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The background of that is that sheep that was lost, had wandered, had left the shepherd, had left the fold. The shepherd went out to find it. The joy the shepherd had when he found that lost sheep. And the Lord rejoices over one who repents and comes to know him, even more so than the 99 who don't need to. And then we should rejoice in having our prayers answered. Jesus again, John chapter 16 and verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know what's interesting to me? He says that to the disciples, at this point you really haven't asked for anything. But he says, if you ask in my name, according to my will, according to my character, if you ask in my name, then I will answer you. And you'll have the joy of answered prayer. Now, what are some of the results of rejoicing? I got to hurry. The first result is health. It produces strong, moist bones. That's what the scripture says. Proverbs 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Second, rejoicing produces a cheerful countenance. It makes us look good. You want to look good? Stand in front of the mirror and smile at yourself. Rejoice! Proverbs 15, 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Third, rejoicing brings a fullness of joy. John 15, 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Fourth, rejoicing helps us overcome mourning, groaning, and depression. Isaiah 61, 3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Fifth, out of this we become a positive witness of God in our lives. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, what are the things that hinder us from the well? Debbie and I have put together a well of salvation. Now, I know you might have to use your sanctified imaginations a little bit this morning, but this is our well. It is a well of salvation. We're going to be doing some things with this well in some later weeks. My goal, my prayer for you is that you will be able to come and you will draw out of the well of salvation what you need for your life. It's all that you need. Can I tell you, all that you need is in Jesus? He is the well. He is the living water that flows from the well. All that you need, you will find in him. But do you know that there are some things that will stop you from getting what you need? That will stop you from drawing from the wells of salvation. Some of you have some buckets. All right? And when I call what's written on your bucket, if you would just come and stand across the platform, first person I call, just come and stand here. And we're going to go across this morning. Before we can draw from the wells, we need to make sure that your bucket is not filled with something that will hinder you from drawing from the living water. First of all, fear and worry. Fear and worry. Fear and worry is like putting a lid on the bucket. If you put a lid on the bucket, you're not going to be able to get anything out of that. So if there's fear and if there's worry today, you need to empty your bucket of it. Second thing is burdens and worries. Burdens and worries are like putting rocks in the bucket. What happens if you put rocks in the bucket? It becomes pretty heavy, doesn't it? It becomes heavy, and if you were to put the bucket in the well of salvation and it was full of rocks, it would drop. It would drop to the bottom. It would be difficult to pull it back out. If your bucket is full of rocks and you're trying to dip it down into a water supply, it's going to be heavy. It's going to be difficult to pull back out. What we should do is throw the rocks out of the bucket into the well. Bitterness. Bitterness is like filling the bucket with vinegar. One thing I hate, it is vinegar. It just smells up everything, doesn't it? I know it's necessary sometimes. My wife will clean my coffee pot out. She will run just plain vinegar through it. But here's the thing, if your bucket is full of vinegar, if it's full of bitterness, there's not going to be room for God's blessings. And it'll make the water taste bad. If you add vinegar into your water, I guarantee your water is going to taste bad. Doubt. Doubt keeps us from putting the bucket into the well. See, if I doubt that there's really the solution to my need in this well of salvation, I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to try it. Impatience. Impatience never allows us to fill the bucket. You know, it takes time to go to the well and then to put the water, the bucket down into the well. We'll never let the bucket go all the way down to the bottom of the well. This is what some people do with God's well of salvation. They go to the well, but they don't wait for the promise to be fulfilled, and they leave before they get what they came for. We don't allow time for the bucket to be filled. Hate. Hate is like putting tar in the bucket. It doesn't take much to spoil the water. And tar just sticks to everything that it touches. Ignorance of the word keeps us from going to the well. We don't know that the well, probably start over here. We don't know that the well contains the promises. We don't know where to find the promises. And so we're ignorant of God's word, and we don't know what is available. In contrast, if we have knowledge of the Bible, if we know where to find the promises of God, we're going to run to the well to get the promise, to find the answer, to seek the salvation and the deliverance. Lust and greed. It's like putting dirt into the bucket. It weighs the bucket down. If you put dirt in with water, what do you get? Mud. Some Christians, I hate to say it, but some of their buckets are filled with mud. They're not going to be able to draw from the water of salvation. Hurts and unforgiveness. This could be toward God or toward others or even ourselves. Here's what hurts and unforgiveness does. It keeps us from using the rope properly. We don't use the rope to put around the bucket to draw the water. People keep us tied up in knots. We, instead of taking the rope and using it for the purpose of lowering the bucket into the water, we use it to allow people to tie us up. Or we might tie ourselves up. Or tie somebody else up with the rope. Jealousy, anger, and rage causes us to take the bucket and try to hit others with it. That's the digression there. Jealousy, anger, and rage. Rather than using the bucket for its purposes, we use it to strike others. Pride. Pride says, I don't need any water. I don't need to go to the well. I don't know. I don't need to go to Jesus. I can do this myself. Pride. You know that the reason most people don't come to Christ is because of pride. It's one of the worst things we can have. Busyness. Busyness is like putting sand and little rocks into the bucket. It makes for a very heavy bucket. We tire out, even if we get to the water, we tire out pulling out the water. You know, but do you ever notice that busyness seems to be a fad today? But we are so busy that we don't have time to go to the source of living water. We don't have time to go to the Lord with our needs. We're tired. We're tired by the time it gets around to going to Him. So here's some examples of things that will hinder you from drawing from the waters, from the well of salvation. And if there's anything in your life today that's represented by one of these buckets up here, what do I want to encourage you to do today is just admit that to the Lord. That's what really confession is. Lord, I see that that is in my life, and Lord, I want to get rid of it. I don't want to carry around a bucket that's filled with these things when I can have a bucket that's filled with living water. So if you can see yourself here today as carrying one of these buckets, today is going to be your day to empty the bucket and have freedom, so that in the weeks ahead you can enjoy the well of salvation. How do we get the water out of this well? First, we have to have a thirst. We have to be tired of the way that we are living. You know, there's been times in my life when I've just gotten tired of being busy and not accomplishing much. Or I've gotten tired of bitterness. I just don't want to carry it any longer. We have to come to the place where we are tired of the way we are living and have a thirst for living water. We have to access the well. Jesus has already provided for that. We have to believe that there's water in the well. I have to believe that when I come to the well of salvation, Jesus is going to have the answer. And He's going to be able to help me. We have to believe that there's water in the well. Reading, studying, memorizing, meditating on the Word will help us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us that we have the promises. In fact, it tells us that all the promises of God in Him, in who, in Christ, are yes and amen. They're true. They are true. And they're done. Then also believe that the well will never run dry. Here's the amazing thing. This water will never run out. There is enough water for every one of us to go and dip our bucket in the well of salvation. And then believe that the water won't cost us. This water's free. This water is without price. There's no cost to it. People get hung up here. Sometimes people think, I gotta buy the water. I gotta somehow come in favor with God. All He's looking for you is for you to humble yourself, put your faith in Christ. We need to use the rope and the bucket properly. We need to forgive others, place their judgment in the Father's hands. Ask Him to forgive us. Ask Him to forgive those that have hurt us. We have to put away all jealousy and anger. We have to have an empty bucket. You have to come with an empty bucket. Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount by saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That means they're spiritually bankrupt. They're empty. We come to Christ empty so that we might be filled. We have to have the motivation to draw water from the well. The motivation is the joy that is set before us. This is the only way Jesus was able to endure the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. Think about the joy that you will have. We have to let the bucket down into the well. How do we do that? That's through prayer. Through prayer, we lower our bucket into the well. We have to let the bucket go all the way down to the bottom of the well. We endure all hardships. We count it all joy. We have to allow the bucket to go kersplash and be filled. That is, experience the joy in his presence. We have to pull the bucket out of the well. We do that through faith. Claim the promises of God by holding on to God in his word. We have to drink of the water. We drink by receiving the promises. Do you know that there is a difference between reading the promises and accepting the promises? You get to the point where you accept the promise in the Bible as your promise. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you look at that and you say, not only can Paul do all things, but I can do all things. And you place your name in there. You claim the promises as your own. We're to be like the woman at the well, to share the water with others that our joy might be full. And then we can really celebrate. Rejoice always. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. John 7:38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. God's purpose is twofold. Number one, that we may have a constant supply of Christ's life-giving water to sustain us. Water for us. And then number two, that we might have a constant supply of Christ's living water to draw out for others. There needs to be enough water for you. There needs to be enough water to sustain you, but also to give to others who are thirsty and dry. God intends for the Christian to be a well spring, bubbling up, bubbling over with living water. How do we draw out this living water and give it to other people? Very quickly. I'm going to expound on this in 2 weeks, so we'll just mention it here this morning. But it's drawn out at the mouth of the well. The mouth of the well. The only way to get water out of the well is to open your mouth. Listen to these verses. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Proverbs 10:20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. Proverbs 13:14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 15:7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. When Jesus met the woman at the well in Samaria, he drew out living water by the words that he spoke, and she found eternal life. One more scripture, Romans 10:14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You Christian, you are a well of salvation to a thirsty world. You are an oasis in the desert, and you need to open your mouth and draw out the life-giving water of salvation to those that are thirsty. Can I have your head bowed, your eyes closed this morning? I wonder, first of all, is there anybody here that say, Pastor, you know, I have not done what you talked about today. I've not repented and come back to God like that prodigal son you were talking about. I have not come and asked Jesus to be my Savior, taking away my sins, which I know that I have. I'm guilty. I know that. But if you tell me there's a way that my sins can be forgiven, I want to know that. I want to experience that. I want to have the joy that you were talking about this morning, that I can rejoice no matter what's happening. If you've not done that and you'd like to do that today, could you just raise your hand? I would just like to pray for you, that's all. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can do that right where you're sitting today. Dear Jesus, I come to you, the well. I come to you as the source of living water. And I put my trust in you as my Savior. I repent of my sins and I draw out of the well of eternal life, the well of salvation. You're drawing that out this morning. Praise God for that. Thank you. And then Christian, again, is there anything represented by one of these buckets that you need to dump out? Could you just picture yourself dumping your bucket today of whatever it is? Impatience, ignorance, busyness, whatever it is. You just picture yourself today emptying out your bucket. And then thirdly, also Christian, are you willing to be a well where people can draw sweet water? That you want to be a well of salvation for others, and you're willing to open your mouth so that water could come from the mouth of your well? If you're willing to do that today, say, Lord, I want to be a well for you. Could you just raise your hand up and down, just as a commitment to God? Amen. God bless you. Lord, I thank you for those that have raised their hands today. I thank you, Jesus, that you are the source of living water. I pray for those today that need to just draw into your presence, so they can feel that joy. So that you can give them what they need. The things that this world offers but cannot fulfill. The things the world offers but in reality is dry. And sometimes even bitter. Thank you, Lord, for the water that you offer. Lord, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Pray that you would just go with us now as we leave here today. Help us, Lord, to be aware of what's in the buckets that we are carrying. Lord, that we would come next week and the week after, that we would come with empty buckets, that we might fill them with what you have for us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.